Hallelujah. Amen. It's on. I got it all on. It should all be on. Hallelujah. You may be seated once you're done shaking hands. You may be seated. I'm on. Clint, am I muted or what? Hello? Can y'all hear me now? No? You still can't hear me? What about now? Yep. All right. What about now? And now. And now. And now. And now. Y'all keep shaking your head at me. I don't have it. Amen. 3 John 2. 3 John obviously only has one chapter. That's why I said 3 John 2. So it's actually 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. You're welcome. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Amen. While you're turning there, I'm going to pray. Father God, we love, thank you, and we do praise you, and we magnify your holy name. Not what I would have this morning, Father God, but what you would have not only for this congregation, but also for me. And Father God, I just thank you that we just take authority over every hindrance that would try to come about this morning. I thank you, Father God, that this word will come forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside force. We'll be doers. And I thank you, Father God, also we come with an open heart. Father God, we don't come with an attitude of, well, just an attitude, but I thank you, Father God, that we come with an open heart. We come to receive from the Word of God this morning, not what, like I said, not what Ricky has, because I don't have nothing for him, but I thank you, Father God, with the help of the Holy Ghost, bringing forth truths this morning from your Word for all of us, and we give you all the praise, Father God, and the honor. All the honor and the glory. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Beloved, who's he talking to? Me. Say me. Amen. I wish. And who is talking? Is this Satan? Who's talking? It's from the Holy Ghost. It's actually God, right? Beloved, I wish above all things that what? May it prosper and be in even as thy soul prospers. See, if your soul ain't prosperous, amen, you ain't prosperous. That's the deal. If you don't see yourself being healthy, being wealthy, being wise, then you're not healthy, wealthy, and wise. Amen. You see yourself as a pushover, guess what you are? Amen. But even as your soul prospers, how is your soul going to prosper? Thank you. The only way your soul is going to prosper is from the Word, not from what man has for you. Man can only teach you what man's learned from mistakes. God will teach you something and you ain't ever got to make a mistake in your life. Hallelujah. Even as thy soul prospers. So that's why we try to really encourage to stay in the Word, at least read. You ain't got to read 4 or 5 chapters a day. You can read one chapter. You can read half a chapter. You can read one verse. But as long as you're getting the Word on the inside of you, you're not just waiting till Sunday and Wednesday to get the Word. Because let's be honest, if we start eating the same way we feed on the Word of God, how many of us would still weigh what we weigh? But if we start eating natural food the same way we read the Word of God.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Moving on. Because that went over so well. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Let's pull that up. I didn't tell you the title. I just wrote down poverty mentality. It's like a poverty mentality test. All right. And so, number one, we're in the house of God. Don't be cheating. Don't be lying to yourself. Amen. You can write it down. You ain't got to tell me. But I'm going to have 6 questions and answer them truthfully for yourself. Not for me. This ain't for which it is for me, but your answer isn't for me. Your answer is for you. Amen. But we need to go through some of these scriptures first before we get to it. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what? Yet for your sakes he became that you, that who?
Me,
Ricky, through his poverty might be rich. Amen. Proverbs, I didn't write down the verse. Go over to Job first. Job 36, 16. Even so, would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place where there is no straightness, and that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. Is it talking about lack?
No.
Is he talking about lack?
No.
Amen. No, he's not. Go over to Nehemiah 9:21, please. Nehemiah 9:21. Yea, 40 years did thou sustain them, where?
In the wilderness.
So that they what?
Lacked nothing.
They lacked everything.
No.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled. Amen.
Amen.
So you could take that with healing as well. Their feet didn't swell. Thank you, God, my feet will not swell.
Amen.
They walked around for 40 years. I only got to stand up for a little bit at my job. They won't swell. They'll function how God designed them to function. Amen. Hallelujah. They swelled not. And then Isaiah 1:19, pull that up in the Passion, please. I know I'm going a little fast, but hopefully you wrote down those scriptures because we got to get some of those, read some of those real fast. The Passion. Y'all don't have it. I got it. What do I do with my phone? If you don't believe me, you can come over here and read this. I got it in the Passion right here. It says, Isaiah 1:19. It says, if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey me, I will make you rich. And it also says, you will feast on the blessings of an abundant harvest.
Amen.
Of an abundant harvest.
Amen.
You will feast on the blessings of an abundant harvest. If you will, if you have a willing heart to let me help you,
amen.
If you will only let me help you, if you will only obey me.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Go over to Job 10:10, and you can pull that up in the Passion first, and then the Amplified, please. John 10:10. John 10:10. John 10:10. John 10:10. John 10:10. John. John 10:10. John 10:10. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to what?
Steal.
Slaughter and
destroy.
So, excuse me, that should clear up every kind of question we have. Because I understand, we ain't got time to talk about that. Amen. So, but I have come to give you everything what?
In abundance.
More. More
than you expect.
Life in its fullness.
Until.
Look, you can't talk about God and then talk about being broke, being poor, living in lack. You just can't. You can't have the same words in your mouth. You can, but it doesn't, that's not God. That's not His character. That's not how He created us. It's not. There's too many scriptures that talks about overflow, abundance, living a good life for us to side in with somebody that says that we should live in poverty, live in lack. Why? 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 Amen. Pull it up in the Amplified, please. Well, you're just out for my money. Real quick question. Have I asked you for your money? So then you're lying. Amen. And I'm not trying to be mean. Okay, I'll talk to y'all over here because y'all ain't smiling on this side. I'm not trying to be mean. Amen. By no means. I don't come up here to try to downgrade or talk to or talk at anybody. Amen. I should have heard a real good amen. Amen. I'm here to learn just like everybody else is. Amen. And the thing is, we've learned this. I moved here. Remember, we were both married before, and then we ended up getting together. And she had three girls. I have a son. But when I got here, it was me and her and the three girls, and I made $12,000 the first year. Second year, I think, was $15,000. So you can't tell me that we are supposed to live in lack. You're too late if you think that, because we are learning what the Word of God says, and we don't make that anymore. Amen. Thank God for where we were, but thank God for where He's taken us. That's the thing. And I know it's not just going to fall on me because I'm a Christian. Because if that was the case, did God just make you get saved? Or did you have to do something? See, I don't know why we think once we get saved, everything else just comes. Well, how did salvation come? Did we have to do something? You have to believe, but you have to confess your sins. You have to ask God, God, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and be the Lord over my life. Amen, right? So, and we understand the thief comes. So anything, the best way to know this, anything bad, does it come from God? Because what does the Word of God say? I'll ask y'all over here. So what does the Word of God say? The thief. Who's the thief? See, we got to know who the thief is. Who's the thief? So the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal? What? Kill. This one says slaughter, but King James says to kill, but slaughter is actually worse. Steal, kill, or slaughter, or destroy. So is God out here just killing people? Because that's the best definition or best explanation of who does than what some people say does. Well, look, God just out there killing people. Why? When it says that Satan, the thief, has come to do that. Not only that, if God was put placing sickness on us, then there would be sickness in heaven. Is there sickness in heaven? Because some people say, well, I just can't wait to get to heaven so I ain't got to deal with the sickness no more. Well, if you're thinking God gave it to you, why wouldn't it be in heaven if God gave it to you? Because what He gave us is in heaven, right? What He gives us is also in heaven, correct? So if we think sickness and lack is coming from God, what's going to be in heaven then? It has to be there. But I read the Word of God where it talks about the streets are made of gold. That does not sound like lack to me. Amen. And then not only that, he said, Jesus told him, he said, I got to go. If I don't go, I got to go prepare a place, a mansion for you. Amen. Does not sound like lack to me. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have and enjoy. Wait, time out. So I can have fun in life.
Yes.
You mean, you mean I can enjoy boats and motorcycles and stuff.
Yes.
You mean I can enjoy side-by-sides or fast muscle cars?
Yes.
You mean I can enjoy having another house?
Yes.
See, amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Amen. Enjoy life and have it in
abundance.
What is abundance to you? See, we got to define abundance then. What's God's abundance, and then what do you think abundance is? You got to get what you think abundance is out of your mind and get what God says abundance is in your mind. Overflow in every area of your life. It's not just financial though. It's every area of our life. I love that he says that we may enjoy life. We may enjoy life. Well, you're just using all these different translations. You know, and you know, I've heard some people, hey, man, tell me, well, you're reading these different things and you know that's not scriptural. Well, y'all all know the King James was not original. Does everybody know that? Honestly, the King James was translated from the Hebrew and Greek. Amen. You might as well say amen.
Amen.
Move it on. Amen. The thief comes. The thief. Who's the thief? We have to establish that first thing in our life. The thief comes. Satan comes. Satan and his cohorts, all of his imps, they come to steal, kill, and destroy. God didn't. God came. Jesus came that we might have life, have it and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full. Till it overflows. The thing is, we've been, some people have been taught lack and, well, we just need to be humble. You know, you got to just, you shouldn't want nice things and all this stuff. We got to get that teaching eradicated from our life is the thing. That's why it's hard for some people to accept this sometimes. Amen. It is possible. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen. Go over to 2 Corinthians 9:8 in the Amplified, please, real fast. Y'all don't have the waveness. I'm going to pull that one up. 2 Corinthians 9:8, Amplified is up there. Give me 1 second. Let me pull up the waveness, please.
Okay.
All right, thank you. I'll read it out of the Weymouth first. Here, Chelsea will read it out of the Weymouth first so you don't think I'm lying. Verse 8 right there.
And God is able to bestow every blessing on you in abundance, so that richly enjoying all sufficiency at all times, you may have ample means for all good works.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And God is able to bestow every blessing on you in abundance. In abundance. So that richly enjoying, again, enjoying all sufficiency at all times, you may have ample means for all good works. Amen. So this right here is a prosperity mentality. This right here is a prosperity mentality. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to who?
Me.
Your neighbor?
No.
See, sometimes, amen, we'll get to that. Come to you in abundance so that you may always and under
all
circumstances. Under all circumstances. That one circumstance we had rolled through was COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But this means that we shouldn't have to experience lack, even though everybody in the world, everybody else in the world is. Because either I'm a child of God or I'm not. That's the thing. Either I'm a child of God or I'm not. And I can't be a child of God and still live without if I choose to. That's all my choice. But don't... Amen. So that ye always may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Amen. You know what this is talking about? This is talking about whenever you're seeing somebody else with a need, and God, and you're just like, you know what? I'm going to bless them. I'm going to help them out. Hey, here's $50,000. Go get yourself whatever you need. Amen. So y'all kind of hit the brakes on the $50,000 right there, but we need to get the thinking. We need to get the prosperity mentality and get the lack out of my mind. Well, I'm on a fixed income. Who fixed it? Amen. Because God didn't. Hallelujah. Possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnish in abundance for every good work. Furnish in abundance for every good work. Because how is everybody else going to get saved in the world that live overseas? Unless somebody goes. See, that's very stingy of us to talk about, well, y'all just got to be sending money to all these people that are traveling. Well, are you going to travel? And who are we not to get, like, who are we to really not want somebody else to be able to receive the word of God, to be able to get saved? Amen. You know, a lot of times we're like, you know, we just should be after the sinner. Yeah, absolutely. Are you traveling? Amen. So if I'm not traveling, I ought to be able to help somebody that God called to travel then. Amen. And if they write a letter and say, hey, you know what? We're going everywhere and we could really use a van. You know, so if y'all are able to help in any way and God just places it on your heart and you just write them a check for $30,000, here you go, get you a new van. You need anything else, let us know. See, that's having, possessing enough to require no aid or support. And furnished in abundance for every good work. Every good work that's helping. Helping get the ministry out, correct? But we also able to enjoy life with it, correct? Yes. Amen. All right. So always having all sufficiency in all things. That's what the King James says in this verse. So that's the prosperity mentality. Now let's go over some the poverty mentality is the opposite of that, right? Where did I write my numbers at? There's a number. The original words like poverty were translated mean deficiency and lack. So the original words like poverty were translated and they mean deficiency and lack. Amen. Amen. Words like, I never have enough. I can't afford that and I'm going to run out. That's a poverty mentality. Yes. Amen. All right. So number one, first question. You can write it down. Take a test for yourself. This is for you, not for me. This is for you, not your neighbor. So, you know, answer it and don't lie. Amen. Amen. Do you save and keep everything? Do you save and keep everything, or do you struggle to get rid of things? Is it hard for you to let go of stuff? Amen. So one great example of that is you buy a phone. Do you have every charger and every phone case that you've had from the beginning? You just can't let them go. We used to have, yes, I was just thinking about that. We used to have this tote underneath the bed. It had every kind of wire and charger you can think of just in case. Stuff from the 30s. We might need it though. Been outdated for at least 50 years, but you never know. That's a lack mentality, if you think about it. Amen. Have you fixed something and still have the broken parts? Because you might need it. Well, why would you replace it if you might need it still? Well, there might be a good part on the inside of it. Amen. Y'all all right? Amen. You and me both. Because I was having a lot of fun going through this. Amen. I was listening to this one guy. He talked about he fixed up a car. And he kept all the old, like a fender and a bumper off of the, from. So he got new parts for his car, a fender and like a bumper. But he kept the old parts just in case. And his wife said, why do we keep tracking these from house to house moving? Why are you keeping these? I might need them. Well, why did you get new ones if they were still good? Well, these look better. I mean, I might dent these and have to put these back on. Well, God helped you get these new ones. You can't get more new ones? Proverbs, pull up Proverbs 11:24, please. You pull it up in the King James. Having problem letting things go, right? Having to save everything, right? Saving everything, like, I mean, let's be honest. There were some people that would save every bread tie. Oh, yeah. Might still have drawers full of bread ties because I might need to make a rope out of it one day or something. Why? A little bitty twist tie and think we have to save it because we might run out. And that's the mentality behind it. I might run out. I might have hard times someday. And so now I'm believing for hard times because now I'm trying to store up for a hard time that I'm believing for in advance. Then the hard time gets here and I go, God, why? That was not Ricky. Thank God for the Holy Ghost helping us. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Amen. And then Ananias and Sapphira, they held back, didn't they? They sold their land, and they didn't even ask them for the money. But they chose to sell their land and to go in and to give the money to the church, and then they held back some of it. Because they asked them, is this all of it? And they said, yes. Did any of them ask them, hey, y'all sell your land and bring us the money? Amen. Some more on saving everything or keeping everything. What about the butter buckets? Fridge full of old, y'all remember the, what are they like? The Crocker, butter Crocker buckets. We'd keep those and then put all the leftovers in it. Have a fridge just full of old butter things full of leftovers. Got stuff growing inside of it because we ain't touched the leftovers either. We just got them all stacked in there in case. You never know. Amen. What about, you know, I know us guys are bad about this. We'll buy a 2x4, cut it, have this much left, and keep it. We might need that. So now we got 400 pieces of 2x4 this long we might be able to wood glue them together and make a full board. Because, you know, Lowe's might run out of trees. Or we do that with PVC. Have just thousands of pieces of PVC. And then we go. Then what's funny is we want to use it. We'll have to buy 900 adapters to use all that PVC. Spend more on adapters than we would a full stick. Not only that, now we've wasted a full day because we got 3,000 adapters with little pieces of PVC pipe just all glued together. And then you stand back and go, son, what happened? And then when it leaks, you don't know where it's at. I don't know where the leak's at. We're going to have to start over from the top. Amen. Amen. Y'all all right? Yeah. Amen. You and me both. Hallelujah. Amen. Running out. Afraid of running out, right? The next one I wrote down is, do you always have to clean the plate? Or I put / clean the plate / use it all, right? And then, I put, do you have to always have to use it all? But do you always have to clean the plate? That was a big one from our, you know, our childhood, because, you know, there's people starving everywhere. And the parents didn't want us to, you know, waste any food because that's waste to them, right? Right? Because of that lack mentality, because of the depression, whenever it hit, that really impacted a lot of people. It really did. And so you don't waste and you use everything. Everything. Right? And so they kind of passed it on from generation to generation. Well, a lot of people now are 400 or 500 pounds because they got the mentality of, I have to eat all the food. Yeah. Amen. So I'm going to talk to y'all because they ain't wanting to talk on that side. Amen. What about do we only go to buffets because that's the only place I can really get my money's worth? Because, you know, if I go to a buffet, I'll be able to eat my worth, the food, how do they say it? Like my food worth of money or whatever, my money worth of food, however. Get my money's worth in food because I can just go and go and go. Want to throw up by the time you leave, but you feel good because you got your money's worth. Have you ever seen like a real, real nice, real, I'm talking about nice restaurant? Me and Chelsea got to go to a place called Eddie V's in Florida. Some of the best food I ever ate. But we asked the bellman at the hotel, hey, is this a nice place or we good? Because I was wearing shorts, a regular shirt, and what'd you have on? Yeah, we were at the beach hanging out. They're like, no, you're good. Look, he lied through his teeth. We get there, there's just G-Wagons, Mercedes, every kind of nice, nice car you can think of was parked in front. And we pull up and we're like, what in the world? Did we leave? Nope. We act like we stayed there. All right, babe, we already here. We about to eat. But the food portion, it's funny, is real small. Real small, but yet you get full from it. Amen. Do we, moving on, we got to, yes. Amen. Do we always have to use it all, right? So are we, growing up, I remember the ketchup. I still have a hard time eating ketchup today. But the ketchup that we, you know, you squeezed all the ketchup out. But now we got to undo the cap, put a little water in there, and shake it up so that we get all the ketchup. My family only one did that. Because we don't want to be wasteful. But I'm turning this ketchup into some kind of nastiness with water. What about some of us are professional toothpaste rollers? Professional. We've got it down to where we can lay it on the counter and pull our hand just right to get all the toothpaste out of the jug, all of it. What some of us need to do is just go home, grab the toothpaste, and squirt some of it in the sink, and then throw the tube away. What about laundry detergent or even shampoo? I'm talking about you get one squirt, eat, and over there almost throwing your arm out of socket. I gotta get the rest out. Why? Are you going to run out? If you think about it, it's a lack mentality. It's a, I'm going to run out. I got to use all of this. Amen. How are y'all doing on your test so far? Amen. Some people, I wrote down, some people think that from the way they're rolling the toothpaste, that it costs like $100 a tube. What does a tube of toothpaste cost? $2 or $3. And we're acting. And we're acting like it's $50, $60 a tube. Amen. Some of us still have toothbrushes from when we got them in kindergarten. Look, I might need this one day. And that's the mentality. I might need this one day. I might need this one day. And that's a mentality on a lot of stuff. I might need this one day. Well, did God help you buy this brand new one that's electric? So he can't do it again. It's just a one-time thing. I mean, some of us really, we still have toothbrushes that come from in the 1990s in a drawer just in case. Well, I might have company. You really want to show your company something like that? You want to give company, if they come over, hey, I got this toothbrush from the 80s. All the bristles might fall out when you use it, but you can use this. You know what? You can have it. Amen. Amen. What about, amen. I wrote down, have a whole drawer dedicated to all the soaps, shampoos, and lotions from a hotel room. All the soaps, the lotions, and the shampoos from a hotel room. Because that's a poverty mindset. Well, I'm going to get my money's worth. I'm going to take all the soap and put it in my bag. Haven't used the soap to this day. But you got a drawer full of them just in case. See, a lot of this stuff, if it gets in, is creating a poverty mindset, and we don't even realize it. And then people try to say, well, I'm just being a good steward. No, that's a lack mentality. It's a lack mentality, thinking you're going to run out. That's not being a good steward. Thinking you're going to run out and have to do without. Think you got to save, save, save. That's a lack mentality. Think that you're about to come on hard times. That's exactly what that is. But we've read too many scriptures where it talks about we can enjoy life in abundance to the full, to the overflow. Amen. And And I also, okay, I wrote this too. It says, and some people say they're just being good stewards, but it's actually fear. It's based off fear, right? Afraid you're going to run out, afraid you're going to come on bad times, and afraid you will need that sometime. And so then now if I look at that, that's based off fear. Now I'm afraid I'm going to run out. You know, because when the pandemic happened, I don't know what that means, but when the pandemic happened, what was really running rampant? Yeah, but fear. Fear. Toilet paper really wasn't running rampant. Fear was. Not sure what you was doing with your toilet paper. But toilet paper, and it was... Oh, we're running out. This is it. We're running out. And so some people went out and bought cases, even getting fist fights at the Walmarts. Amen. Talking about, you know, yeah, I believe the word of God. You better give me that toilet paper or I'm going to knock you and your whole family out. Based off of fear. Me and Chelsea did good with that. We didn't allow fear to move us, and we didn't run to the store and buy a bunch of toilet paper. But then the second wave came. We're running out of food. And I let the words of, look, we're just being wise. We're just being wise. We're using wisdom. We need to go get some food in case they buy all the food. And using the words wise to sound spiritual. To sound like, you know, I'm being all biblical now. I'm being wise using the wisdom of God.
Come on now. Amen.
But I'm allowing fear to run me because in case they buy all the food, I said. And so we went and bought food. Did they run out of food?
No.
Amazing what fear will do to you. Amazing what fear will have you do. Amen. Y'all doing all right?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I wrote down do you use a calculator to figure out a tip for the person at a restaurant? Amen. You know, they're working just like you work, but they chose another job set or job title or whatever. I mean, what if you was waiting on tables? Would you want somebody to give you a 50-cent tip?
Amen.
Or a 25-cent tip? You treat people how you want to be. At least some of y'all agree. Amen. Treat people how you want to be treated, right?
That's right.
Amen. Number three.
What?
Number three.
Okay.
What?
You're
on number six. Good Lord. How'd you get there? That was just a bunch of twos and ones there.
Wow.
Now we're on number three.
Okay.
Number three. Are you always complaining about how much things cost? Are you always complaining? I can't believe gas went up 2 cents. Do rich people think like that?
No.
Do rich people go down the aisles at Walmart making life decisions based off of water or toilet paper or food? And when were you rich? Whenever Jesus took care of it on the cross, that's when we were rich. That's when Jesus took care of it. Whenever Jesus took care of the poverty, that's when we were rich. I just got to get my soul lined up to the Word of God so that I can see myself rich. I wrote down we should take the sentence out of our vocabulary. We can't afford it. Pull up Philippians 2:14, the King James, please. Because saying we can't afford it, that builds a poverty mentality in us and in our kids. Saying we can't afford something builds a poverty mentality in us and our kids, right? Amen. You're pretty much saying that your source is unable to supply. Amen. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without what? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Amen. Complaining about gas prices, right? Amen. Are you going to be able to change it by complaining? So then why complain? We was told that when we was growing up, right? Why complain about something? Are you going to be able to change anything by complaining about it? Not at all. So why waste time? Why waste air or some of my words when I can get into the Word of God and use my words there? Amen. Another one, apples. I knew this individual really liked this certain apple, but the price went up like 50 cents or something, or maybe a dollar, and they would not buy that apple no more, but they absolutely loved that apple. But they wouldn't get that no more, and they would get another apple that they really didn't like. Over a dollar. Amen. Do we feel like we always have to... Oh, that's another one, sorry. Now we'll go to 4 real fast. Yeah, we got to move a little faster. We got 2 more. Number 4, are you always trying to get it for less or free? Are you always trying to get it for less or free? Do you bug people to wear them down, right? Go to a car dealership and just stay on them for 8 hours, 9 hours. I don't know about you. I don't want to spend all day at a car dealership. I don't. Get them as low as you can, and then you try to get them to throw in something. Right? Amen. Don't get me wrong. There are times when you have the favor of God on you, and they will offer you something. Right? But just to go in and start trying to wear people down all the time. Amen. All right. We should also have the other person's interest at heart.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Why am I trying to take away from them?
That's right. Amen. That's right.
Because what if that was me selling something? You see, when we sell something, I ain't going down. But when we buy something, come on, go down. Come on, go down.
Amen.
Amen. Number 5, real fast. You never look or talk about the highest priced items. You never look at the expensive houses or the most expensive vehicles. Right? Things along that line. You never look or talk about the highest priced items. Right? And then I just, for example, just 2 of them. The look at expensive houses or look at the most expensive cars. Right? Have you ever just went up to a realtor and said, hey, I'd like to go check these houses out, or just went by dealerships and looked at cars, or just went by a clothing store and looked at certain clothes or watches or rings or makeup? Amen. Without meaning to, you have the mentality that they are for someone else. Without meaning to, we have the mentality that that's for somebody else. I can't have that. That's too much. But if I serve God Almighty, His streets are made of gold, and He said that I can have life in abundance to the full, to the overflow, then I want to find out what that looks like.
Yeah.
in every area of my life. Every area of my life. Before me and Chelsea could afford anything, obviously we made $12,000 the first year with me, her, and the three girls, and then we had a car payment, insurance, house payments. Before we could afford anything, we started looking at houses on the river and stuff. Before we could even think about buying anything like that. But we had to get the image on the inside of us. Because, see, we just saw ourselves barely getting by because we were barely getting by. The reason God wants you to look at things like that is because he's trying to get the vision in you.
Yes, sir.
Right? Because if you can't see you with it, he can't get it to you. Amen. I'm going to go through some of these real fast. We have to see ourselves in cars or vacationing wherever we want, living in a mansion, writing out a tithe check with five or six extra zeros on it, and not seeing them with somebody else. Thinking of a mansion or expensive cars or flying in your own plane, buying whatever you need at any time, sewing wherever you want to at any time. Can you close your eyes and see yourself in a nice vehicle and nice clothes? And I'm not saying y'all don't have on nice clothes. Everybody got that?
Yes,
we're just, amen. But can you see yourself in a nice vehicle? Can you see yourself living in a mansion or a nice house? Well, I don't need all that. Well, that's fine if you don't want that. Nobody's telling you to do that. Amen. Amen. Live how you want to live. But if it's there for me, I'm going to go for it. If God said it belongs to me, it belongs to me then. So are you able to see yourself with nice stuff? Or can you only see? So whenever you close your eyes and you think about mansions, whenever you close your eyes and you think about, you know, like flying in a jet or flying first class, do you only see movie stars in the seats? Do you only see, you know, musicians? Thank God, almost didn't get that out. Musicians? Do you only see musicians owning a house like that? When are we going to start seeing ourselves in that and not somebody else? That's what I'm trying to get to you. When can we close our eyes and see ourselves living in a mansion, living in a nice house, driving a real nice car, whatever?
Amen.
Amen. Owning some businesses. And I challenge you, if you'd like, you know, it's up between you, obviously, but why don't you get a nice car or a mansion and then get a picture and crop yourself in the driveway of the house or in the front seat of a car. That way you can start seeing yourself with this. Seeing yourself with businesses behind you. Amen. And not always seeing somebody else. Well, only, you know, people that play sports can have that kind of stuff. Well, only people that, you know, are, you know, Bill Gates can own that kind of stuff. Well, you know, only this certain people. I wasn't born into that. Well, yeah, you was. You obviously don't know who your dad is. Amen. Learn how to be able to see yourself with stuff. I was listening to this one guy. He said, you know, he was believing for his first plane and stuff. He said, I'd close my eyes. He said, and I couldn't even get the whole plane inside. Amen. He said, the only thing I could get was just the tail end of the plane inside. He said, so I just had to keep going and looking at planes until I got that image built up, until I could close my eyes and see the full plane and see me sitting in it.
Amen.
See, are you able to see yourself with something like that? Or do you just close your eyes and see somebody else with it? Well, you know, I can see you with something like that, but not me. Why not? Because I thought we served the same God. And he's not a respecter of person. He's a respecter of faith, but not a person. Amen. Man, it's y'all. Give me 5 minutes, please. Is that all right? All right. Let me see what where we want to go. Number six is, are you bothered by what other people, amen, spend or have or do? Are you bothered? Are you bothered? And a lot of people are bothered by, I'll tell you how I wrote it down. I said, are you bothered by what other people, and then I put parentheses, not just people, but ministers, spend or have or do?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you bothered by it? Whenever you hear the price of something, do you think, well, that's wasteful? Amen. They could have gave that to the poor. So we'll talk about that real fast. Give that to the poor. And a lot of people that, I don't know, well, that just came from Satan, started that whole thing. Well, you ought to give that to the poor. Number one, you sound like Judas, yeah. Right? Yeah. Pull up 3 John. No, not 3 John. It's John 12 in the living first. John 12, verse 4. John 12:4, Living says, but Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who would betray him, said, that perfume was worth a fortune. It should have been sold and the money given to the
poor.
Next. Not that he
cared.
Not that he cared for the poor. See, and a lot of times people, oh, that should have been given to the poor. I really wonder if they really care about the poor. Because if they did really care about the poor, how many cans of food do they have in their house? How many extra shoes do they have in their closet? How many pair of clothes do they have? How many extra bar of soaps do they have? Toilet paper? How many extra towels? Do they live in a house? Do they have any extra bedrooms in there?
Right.
Amen.
Because if we're going to talk about that, then let's talk about it.
Amen.
Not that he really cared about for the poor, but he was in charge of the disciples, what?
Funds.
And often dipped into them for his own use.
Yeah.
Pull that up in the living, please, or the passion. The passion. Verse 4. Here, pull that up. John 12, 4. But Judas the locksmith, Simon's son, the betrayer, spoke up and said, what a
waste.
And that's what you hear people say sometimes.
Yes,
that's such a waste. Why do they need such a nice vehicle? Why do they need such a nice house? But if you actually look at it, and it's actually coming from a place of envy, of jealousy, because they wish they had that. What a waste. We could have sold this perfume for a fortune and given the money to the poor. In fact, Judas had no heart for the poor. He only said this because he was a thief and in charge of the money case. He would steal money whenever he wanted from the funds given to support Jesus' ministry. Amen. Read that, Chelsea, the Waymans, please.
Then said Judas, the Iscariot, one of the 12, the one who afterwards betrayed Jesus, why was not that perfume sold for 300 shillings and the money given to the poor? The reason he said that was not that he cared for the poor, but that he was a thief, and that being in charge of the money box, he used to steal what was put into it.
Amen. Amen. There was this guy minister, he bought this dog. It cost like $15,000. It was a German Shepherd, trained and stuff. Yes, for a dog. $15,000 for a dog. And some people started going, that's a waste. And then another minister got a watch or something like that. And people, I can't believe that. Well, I wonder if you had the funds to buy the dog, if you would buy the dog. No, I'd give it to the poor. Well, are you giving your money to the poor now? So what makes you think you'll give it to them then? Not only that, the watch thing, somebody gives another minister a Rolex or something. Some people are like, man, I can't believe that. I wonder if you were given a Rolex, how you would act. If the same words of, that's a waste, you ought to give that to the poor, would still be on your mouth. See, we got to put ourselves in that position. Not only that, what is this other person doing concerning the poor? Do you know? Are you in charge of his finances and see what he does? Are we just assuming that he's not doing nothing for the poor? Amen. Y'all okay? Because some of y'all looking mad. You're all right? And once again, I'm not talking at anybody. Amen. And we're just learning, right? We're asking questions, right? Yeah, we'll stop with that. We'll stop. Amen. Amen. Are y'all all right? Amen. If I knew a joke, I'd tell you. That way I could get you laughing before we leave. Amen. Got to go clean his drunk drawer out. Amen. Amen, right? Yeah. Amen. You know, if it'll help you, get in your shower and just pour some of the shampoo or body wash on the floor. Amen. Do stuff like that sometimes. That way you just let yourself know, look, you ain't in charge of me and you ain't going to get in fear about this. Amen. I ain't going to run out. I haven't ran out. So why do I think I'm going to run out? I won't. Amen. God takes care of his kids. Amen. Amen. Well, Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. And we thank you, Father God, we will be doers of the word and not just hearers only. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Mighty name of Jesus. Everybody agreed. Say it.
Amen.
Amen. Me and Pastor Chelsea.